welcome again to the Ted Brewer Show. Austin will be joining us in just a minute, but I wanted to cover some stuff here about the forecasters and what's going on with the markets right now. This is really important because some of the top forecasters are saying that the market may actually drop up to 75% this year. Now, whether that's true or not, I have absolutely no idea, but what I do know, it'll be the same as it was in 2008, that it's not going to crash overnight. It'll be a series of controlled drops that's pretty much being manipulated by our plunge protection team. This first week in the new year was the worst New Year's week in recorded history. Now, I'm going to talk to you just in a minute here because I was just put on hold by Sears Roebuck trying to get some maintenance stuff done with one of my appliances that I'd bought from them. And before I knew it, I was like 15, 20, 30 minutes into a phone call with a bunch of folks in the Philippines trying to get something done. Nothing got done. And so I ended up finally going and talking to their management. Sears' stock used to sell for around $200 a share. It's down to around $16 now. I mean, that's a bloodbath. And sadly, when you try to talk to them about outsourcing and giving their employees, you know, lay off pink slips and hiring people in the Philippines, they don't seem to care. But what we need to realize is this. The market is going to keep sliding. Quantitative easing and zero rate interest rate, that covered up what happened since 2008. We've pumped trillions. We haven't. The Federal Reserve criminal banking cartel has pumped trillions of dollars of quantitative easing and zero rate interest to cover up what happened in 2008. In 2015, we had the greatest level of mergers and acquisitions in the history of the stock market, along with stock buybacks. This is the prop of the markets, and it consolidated the ownership of the major U.S. corporations into the hands of the international banksters. The whole market growth is an artificial bubble that was designed by them, as it was in the Weimar Republic in the early 1920s, to seize the assets of the United States and gradually collapse this country and to take as much of the assets and the wealth as they possibly can. For 2016, most of us are already out of the market, so we're not seeing what's going to happen again to the folks that are still in the market. And the reason for that is that jobs have been so bad now in the last 10 or 15 years that nobody has investment capital. These banks, again, are the ones that are doing it with their mergers and acquisitions, along with the money they've gotten from QE. The market decline is reflecting a total global recession. Mainstream says this is primarily due to China and the oil price drop. But here's not the reality. Iron ore was $200 a ton. Now it's down to $40. Corn, nickel, zinc, wheat, commodity indexes are down to 1999 levels and falling. And so what we have to understand is not China, it's not oil, it's all of the cheap money that was moving into the emerging markets and the commodities are falling. And these commodities are falling and the people who borrowed all this money can't pay it back. The energy sector and the bond prices are collapsing. The oil industry is still drilling, but they're not pumping oil anymore. They have now 4,000 capped wells in the United States because they don't want to pump the oil at this low, low price. Same thing with the ships. The ships can't cover the cost of their fuel to haul cargo because they're running on empty. They need thousands and thousands of dollars a day just in fuel, just in order to run these huge, huge transit ships. So they have to sit at port and wait and wait and wait. That's why everything's getting delayed and we're having food shortages. Look at Brazil. Look at Brazil.
Hey, Bud, I'm on here now with you.
Okay, let me finish this little intro. In Brazil, they're almost in a depression. Venezuela is at 200% inflation. Africa is collapsing due to the commodities prices. Now we have a migrant crisis due to declining economies, a refugees crisis because all of the bombing, including the electrical water plants being bombed in Syria, and so many of these people that are coming out of Africa, they're leaving Africa to go to Europe and to Germany because they can't make enough money to buy food in Africa anymore. This entire contagion is spreading into Europe. The refugees, the migrant, and economic crisis. This is a geopolitical, geosocial, and religious crisis. It's a mess. Now, King Obama is increasing plane loads of refugees who hate us because we've killed their families with their drone strikes and with the bombings in Syria and throughout the Middle East. It's all designed to collapse the world and bring us under a one-world government. All we need now is a global pandemic or war, which I'm sure the boys at Fort Detrick can give us a global pandemic as far as disease whenever they want to. Or we need a international disaster for the Satan bunch who's running this whole thing to bring in a world government to put all of us under slavery. We need to realize that the Middle East is in turmoil due to the oil price drop, but these countries flooded their economies with money to stop the unrest of the Muslims that were there and the dissidents. They can't do that anymore. They're now Saudis having to float bonds trying to raise money for their own country. So they're not going to be able to avoid another Arab Spring by pumping money into the economies. Plus, with all that's going on with the HARP technology, with the frequency technology, if they want another Arab Spring, all they have to do is hit the right frequency modulation of those Middle Eastern countries, and we're going to have another mess. Let's look at that. Look at Asia. You have declining currencies in trade. Every month, the yuan's losing value, and also the trade's going down. When everything else fails, always remember, here's what the globalists do. Here's what they did in the crash of 1929. When they manipulated the markets, when the Rothschild banking cartel took us over in 1913, and they flooded the money into the stock market for the 20s, we call it the Roaring 20s, but in 1929, they told their insiders to get their money out of the market, and they contracted the M1 money supply and forced a major, major depression in the United States. It always starts that way. After the crash of 29, there were currency wars, then there were trade wars, then there was a world war. That's what they're trying to do again. But this won't, I don't believe it's going to go nuclear, but I believe it's going to be a giant mess. But this allows the banksters to resent the Ponzi scheme that they've done to start over and keep the phony game going. I'm going to repeat it. When they have the war, they can cover themselves up. Oh, all those records were destroyed. All of this was destroyed. It allows the banksters to reset the Ponzi scheme to start over again to keep the phony game going. That's what our plunge protection team is doing. It kind of makes up the rules as they go. The mainstream, basically, his media is loaded with fraud, and the mainstream politicians are fraudulent. I'm talking Republican and Democrat now. I mean, they steal our money with taxes that we shouldn't have to pay. They have murdered millions of people in the Middle East, innocents, a lot of them women and children. Why? It's because of their insatiable greed. It's because they've coveted everything that other countries have, and this greed cannot be satisfied. These people are sick. They're wicked, and they're being controlled by Lucifer himself, as far as I'm concerned. This is exactly what the Bible says is going to go on. So we all need to pray that our company, or that our country wakes up, that our leaders wake up, and they turn this thing around. The Senate just stopped the bill that was passed by Congress to make sure we vet the Muslims properly before they come to the United States to prevent jihadists from coming in. They vetoed it. They didn't pass it. The Senate couldn't get it passed. And Obama already said that if it was to be passed, he was going to veto it. This is a globalist plan to destroy the United States of America and to take us down. That's what this thing's all about. And you guys, if you don't understand that, please read. I know my listeners understand it. We cover it all of the time. But understand that the mainstream media is continually lying to you, because the truth is, they're all part of this, because the mainstream media is owned by the Rothschild banking cartel through their interlocking corporate directorships, and these banksters have hijacked the United States of America, and they've taken us all prisoner. And this is what they're planning on doing, and this is what they are doing, and we have to wake up, and we've got to say no more. Everybody listening needs to go out and take at least part of your money, part of your income, and start buying physical gold and silver every single month and get out of this system. Because the people in Germany who survived the Weimar Republic, my mom told me that she was there, were the ones that had their assets in blue chip stocks in Germany, and also their assets in gold and in silver and in real estate. Other than that, all the rest of the folks in Germany, including the upper class, were wiped out. So guys, pay attention. It's happening around us. We could call it the global reset of 2016, or the global collapse of 2016, whatever you want to call it. So, Austin, do you have any comments on any of that?
No, that was a great intro. Very, very good job on that. You're spot on. There's definitely something significant coming as far as with the entire system going to be reset. And like you said, every time there's a war, they always try and reset it. We know that. We've seen it happen repeatedly. And not only that, when there is a war, it's obfuscation to cover up everything else they're doing, like running $19 trillion in off-books balance sheet and allowing the public to not even understand what's going on. And that way they can blame, oh, the economy crashed because of the war. That was why. It wasn't our fault. It was because of the war. That's why everything crashed. So you're absolutely right.
Remember, Austin, all of the physical evidence that was being held by the FBI on Enron and that giant Ponzi scheme that was done by Ken LaHaye out in California, where they stole hundreds of billions of dollars. All of that physical evidence was in Building 7 of the Trade Towers. Yep. And when that building came down by itself, just fell down, okay, when it did that, because none of us believe that, we all know that it was internally detonated, when they destroyed that building, they destroyed all of the physical evidence for Enron, and no further prosecution took place. I mean, all the money that was stolen from the trade towers, all the gold that was stolen from the trade towers, no record of it exists. Nobody knows what happened to it. But again, we're all a bunch of racists, and we need to shut up. I want to read you this real quick. This is a really good article by Lee Dujon. And the name of the article is "Shut Up, You Racist." And it goes on. This week we celebrated Martin Luther King as a national holiday. You remember Reverend King? He was that poor pastor who wanted to be judged by the content of his character rather than the color of his skin. Well, you can't always get what you want. Our nation's colleges and universities celebrated King Day by stoking the fires of racial animosity. That's part of a higher education these days. Now listen to what happened. This is going to blow your mind. At Oregon State University last week, students were roped into an implicit bias workshop. And this feast of tomfoolery, they were told, among other things, that ordering a cup of coffee was pretty much the equivalent morally of a white policeman shooting a black man. It is, at the very least, microaggression, not to mention implicit bias. Somehow having a cup of coffee contributes to injustice, racism, and inequality, probably to global warming, while we're at it. But now, listen to this, but now, why does ordering coffee constitute implicit bias? Yes, someone actually had the nerve to ask the professor that. Probably he was a racist. Alas, we'll never know how or why, because the nitwit professor conducting the workshop couldn't find an answer. Don't you love it when you ask a professor a question he doesn't even know? Shut up, you racist. I laughed so hard when I read that this morning because I was trying to figure out why ordering a cup of coffee was the equivalent of a white cop shooting a black guy. I couldn't understand any of this. But that's how twisted this common core and this political correct crap has gone. We've got the people teaching the political correctness to the people who don't even understand political correctness, and everybody's walking around like they've turned into morons who've gone through the school systems, and nobody knows how to think anymore, son. What do you think?
Oh, you know my take on this whole political correctness thing has gotten completely out of control. I mean, I didn't even know. When you were saying that, I was really trying to put it together. I'm like, ordering a cup of coffee. I'm like, okay.
I couldn't do it either.
Let's try and think of, like,
out
any racist motive behind this. I'm really not sure. I have no idea where he came up with that concept. That's one of the most ignorant concepts I've ever heard in my life.
It is.
So whatever to him. I hope he doesn't have a job very long. It's sad to me that he's in the education system as far as teaching people stuff.
I remember one time I was thinking, well, years ago I was thinking about going to law school. I'll never forget this. And I took the LSATs, and I scored probably close to 170 on it, where they used to grade. I scored real high on it. And I was taking this class. It's called Kaplan Class. It was Kaplan Class. It's a real good program for the LSATs. And I remember I took the practice test there, and I scored so high on it, they told me I really didn't need to be there. If I want to take the test, I could pass it and pretty good at any university as far as law. And I said, no, that's okay. I'm going to see if I can learn some more stuff, because there was one question on that exam. I said I couldn't figure it out. It was so weird, I couldn't figure it out. So I sat in this class that night, and it was about an $800 program. This is 25 years ago, 30 years ago. And I sat in this one class, and I listened to this professor go over the questions that were on the test. Finally, I asked him, I said, what about test number, question 18B or whatever it was? And he ignored me. I asked him again, what about 18B? He ignored me again. Finally, I raised my hand for the third time. I said, you've ignored me twice. I'm paying to take the class. What about question 18B? You know what he said to me, Austin? You know what he said? I don't know how to answer that question. I can't understand that one either. This is true. I picked up my books. I walked out, and I walked to the front room, and I said, okay, guys, here's how this works. I now need a refund. I said, if he can't answer a question on the test that I can't answer, but I scored that high on this exam, why in the world am I sitting here listening to this guy? And so that was it. That was my one class that I had with Kaplan, and for various reasons. And then right after that, I was brought onto the seminar circuit by Peter Lowe, and I started doing these seminars with 20 and 30 and 40,000 people in attendance and sharing the platform with President Bush and Barbara Bush and Colin Powell and Schwarzkopf. And Austin, of course, you remember the rest. And then so I never ended up going to law school, which is probably a good thing, because I wouldn't be doing this show right now, or I may have been doing this show right now. I don't know. But the point is, I tell you guys, the educational system in the United States of America has gotten awful. And unless you train your children properly before you put them into a university that's not Christian-based, you're going to get back a secular little nightmare when they come back out, in most cases. Not every time, but you better have them trained and prepared for what they're going to hear. What's your first story, Oz?
That's definitely true, especially we've seen that even in the local college around here.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the interesting professors that the kids are getting exposed to now. First one is, this is interesting, this is from Wednesday of last week in Decatur, Georgia. I was right by there on Wednesday, this is interesting. Around 5 p.m., Mr. Hernandez, 28 years old, and his visiting mother were sitting down for dinner when they heard a knock on the door. He said, when I opened the door, these two guys in ski masks stormed in with guns and started pistol whipping me and took me to the ground. Fortunately, one intruder made the mistake of leading Hernandez to the extra bedroom where he kept his father's old hunting rifle. That's when the resident was able to turn the tables on the attacker. He grabbed the stashed rifle and began firing at the two assailants, putting bullets in both of them and sending them fleeing out the door. One intruder died in the neighbor's yard. The other attacker ended up crashing in the parking lot of a nearby Zaxby's restaurant. He remained in critical condition until dying on Thursday. Upon the police arriving, they found badges and zip ties on the individuals. The police concluded that the two appeared to be impersonating police officers that essentially were tied to other home invasions. Hernandez said he was grateful to have had a gun in his house for protection. I feel like if I hadn't had the gun in there, this whole news story would be about me and my mother being dead in our house. So there you go. There's another independent news source about somebody else saving their own life and their family's lives with a firearm, besides all these negative ones that CNN always tries to put down everybody's throat all the time.
Well, no, I mean, the firearm. And I was thinking about this last night, too. And this is something, food for thought. King Obama wants to, and of course I say that tongue-in-cheek. I have no respect for him whatsoever. I don't want to say anything bad. That's why I kind of say that in parody. And this is what's interesting. Well, I don't. I mean, I've heard all kinds of things, and I'm not going to repeat them on the internet about him. But I'm not going to repeat any of that. So I just call him King Obama as a joke. But he now wants to pass, and we talked about this yesterday, and I want to bring this up one more time because I had a moment of clarity. I occasionally get those at the age of 60, and it was kind of funny. I was thinking about the electronic guns they want us to use with fingerprint ID and recognition on them.
Yep.
And I thought, well, that's what they want to do. So I printed. We talked about that yesterday. How stupid it is if you got to wait 3 seconds for the ID to allow the gun to fire. Here's the thing, though, Austin. That means that thing's got a battery in it, right? It has to have
yep.
a battery. Okay, that means it's going to have. That means it's got processing chips in it, right? That means it's going to have a transmitter in it too.
Yep.
They can turn that stupid thing off.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the law enforcement can turn it off, but the
yep.
the government can turn it off. I mean, they could say, well, this home's got 14 guns. They're all set up with this little chip in there. Go ahead and run an EMP through the house real quick and scramble that. None of these guns are going to fire. We'll be able to go in, and we'll be
yep.
able to take these people over and put them in concentration camps or take them out back and shoot them. I mean, think about that. The simple stuff sometimes causes more problems for these globalists because they can't really do anything to stop it because it doesn't have an electronic component. When you put electronic components to guns, I didn't even think about this yesterday, they can be turned off or scrambled. And they're done. If the chip doesn't work, gun won't fire.
No, done. It is,
okay.
You know, another interesting concept is even if you think about it one step further, say they're in a neighborhood where they're going to go do one of their home invasion no-knock search warrants, and they go, well, there's four neighbors in the surrounding area of this house. They all have weapons on registered. They all have electronic chips on them. We need to go ahead and manually disable all of them with the EMP through the whole neighborhood so that none of the neighbors can get angry and irate by how we're treating their neighbors and storming in at 4 in the morning with flashbangs. Go ahead and EMP the whole neighborhood and disable everybody's firearms at one time. And it happens that fast. Nobody even knows what happened. You go to draw your weapon, and it doesn't work. That's
and, you know,
one
and, you,
brilliant
the
thing about firearms, Phil, is they're so simple and basic. There's no complexity to them yet.
No, not at this point, but they can change all that almost instantaneously. You know, it's sad because I remember in Germany, my mom used to tell me how they used to, and I've told the story before, how the Gestapo or the SS would come in the middle of the night and take people away that were neighbors to these other people that banged the door down 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, whatever their version of a flashbang was, go in, take everybody out, haul out the mother, the father, and all the children, never to be seen again. Later, that house would be bulldozed, gone. And the sad part about it is the people next door had already had all of their guns taken, so they couldn't do anything even if they wanted to. Because if you bring a knife to a gunfight, you're not going to be in the fight very long if the person knows you're coming at them with a knife. It's just going to be – it's just stupid, honestly. Or I remember your old sensei. I mean, Austin – people don't realize Austin has a first-degree black belt. And I remember years ago I talked to your old sensei. I said, well, what happens if somebody comes up to you with a gun? And I remember your sensei told me this. He goes, well, it depends on how close they are. He said, if they're 20 or 30, 40 feet away, he said, you better run. He said, you better run as fast as you can run. He said, if they're standing next to you, I could probably take the gun away without getting shot. But if they know what they're doing, they're not going to let you get close to them if they know you're trained in martial arts, and they're going to shoot you before you get close to them. See, that's the problem, again, with these stupid fingerprint sensors. If you pull a gun out of the holster and 3 seconds has to pass, a lot of things can happen in 3 seconds, Austin, if someone's charging or going towards you. But let me read you another letter. This is an interesting one. I don't really talk much about 9/11 because we all know that the planes didn't bring these buildings down. But this was an interesting article, and it was by a guy by the name of John Lear. He's the grandson or the son of the actual man who did, you know, developed the Lear jets. And this guy's a top pilot. And he said, in his expert opinion, the official version of events that claims that two planes crashed into the towers is actually physically impossible. With reports from the Kremlin this week that President Putin is ready to release satellite images proving the Twin Towers were destroyed by controlled demolition rather than by the force of two planes, enormous strides towards disproving the official 9/11 Commission version are taking place. Now, this is interesting, and this is what John Lear said. He goes, and believe me, John Lear's statement makes a very strong case. The grandson of Learjet founder Bill Lear, John himself is a retired airline captain and a former CIA pilot who has flown over 100 different types of planes during his 40 years of active flying. He holds his FAA Airman certificates than any other. He holds more FAA Airman certificates than any other FAA certified pilot, any of them, okay? He has flown covert missions in Asia, Africa, Eastern Europe, and the Middle East. Basically, he goes on, he says, you don't want to argue with this guy about flying airplanes, and you don't want to argue with him about planes flying into tall buildings. Okay, this guy's he's the big deal. Okay, here's what his sworn affidavit says. I'm going to read it to you. No Boeing 767 airliners hit the Twin Towers as fraudulently alleged by the government media and its contractors. Such crashes did not occur because they are physically impossible, as depicted for the following reasons. In the case of UAL 175 going into the South Tower, a real Boeing 767 would have begun telescoping when the nose hit the 14-inch steel columns, which are 39 inches on center. The vertical and horizontal tail would have instantaneously separated from the aircraft, hit the steel box columns, and fallen to the ground. The engines, when impacting the steel columns, would have maintained their general shape and would have fallen to the ground or been recovered in the debris of the collapsed building. No 767 could attain a speed of 540 miles per hour at 1,000 feet above sea level. Parasite drag doubles with velocity and parasite power cubes with velocity. The fan portion of the engine is not designed to accept that volume of dense air at that altitude and speed. The piece of alleged external fuselage containing 3 or 4 window cutouts is inconsistent with an airplane that hit 14-inch steel box columns placed at over 500 miles an hour. It would have crumbled. No significant part of the Boeing 767 or the engines could have penetrated the 14-inch steel columns and 37 feet beyond the massive core of the tower without part of it falling into the ground. The debris of the collapse would have contained massive sections of the Boeing 767, including 3 engine cores weighing approximately 9,000 pounds apiece, which could not have been hidden. Yet there was no evidence of any of these massive structural components from either 767 or the World Trade Center. Such complete disappearance of 767s is impossible. It takes a highly skilled pilot to interpret the electronic flight instrument display, which none of the hijacker pilots would have been familiar with or received training on or used its controls, including the ailerons, the rudder, the flaperons, the flaps, the elevators, the spoilers, and the throttles to effect and maintain control of an ascent. I mean, this guy just completely destroyed the story. Now, we already know that no plane hit the Pentagon. We know that. General Stubblebine said that. I mean, we know no plane hit the Pentagon, and now one of the top aircraft people in the world said no plane hit the Trade Towers. Now, I have asked and asked and asked so many people over the years, if you actually saw who were in New York, did you actually see the Trade Towers get hit by the airplanes? And the vast majority of them say, no, I saw it on the TV. Now, I'm sure there are people out there that saw it, but what did they really see? I don't know. But this guy's making a lot of sense. All I know is this. We have so much obfuscation in the media, so much trash, so much garbage, and I want to know why in the world that cars burst into flames a mile away from the Trade Towers, like Judy Wood talks about in her book, you know, what happened to the towers and why they turned into powder. This whole thing is such a disaster, and the fact that the American people, Austin, are still not discussing this in detail and in depth, and that nobody in the 9/11 report discuss Building 7 absolutely blows my mind. What do you think about that, son, with this John Lear guy?
Well, I mean, he makes some pretty valid points there, because why it's funny, while you were bringing that up, I pulled up one of the videos on YouTube of the impacts, and it's interesting because all the angles that you see it in, it's very strange the way it impacts, because it literally, the Twin Tower in the one, because remember the first video, nobody really has any real, true, legitimate footage of the plane coming in on the first tower. But the second one that impacts, the plane seems to disappear into the tower. It comes in really low, really fast, and then it just goes in. It just disappears into the whole Twin Tower, and we see a giant fireball explosion come out. And he's right. There's absolutely no evidence of the plane falling. And I didn't read 14-inch thick steel structural arms like that. Yeah, I don't. He's got a valid point, man. The guy definitely has some credentials to back it.
Well, when you read Judy Wood's book, also it's where the towers go. I got the book. It's a full color book. It's a really nice book. It's very expensive. It's a really good book. It actually shows all these pictures. And she said the same thing. She says there were no planes that hit the towers. She goes, it's not possible. She goes, all of a sudden we have a little hole in the side of the building where the planes went in. Are you kidding me? And we're supposed to believe that? And see, she said, she basically postulated that it was perhaps explosives that were set in there combined with some type of projection equipment that showed this happening, and they coordinated it together to make it look like that. Now, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if he's saying right. All I know is this. Building 7 didn't fall down by any stinking airplanes. Nothing hit it. And there was so much stuff in Building 7. And I know that Silverman said, we're going to pull Building 7, make sure everybody's out of it. That's in demolition terms. And there's no way that building was wired up in 5 or 6 hours. It takes days upon days to wire huge buildings like that. So this whole thing was so lied to by the... You know what, though, Austin? I remember years ago, this is about three years ago, I was teaching a class over at Southeastern University. I came in as a guest professor for two classes for Dr. Giamatteo. And I'll never forget... I asked the kids in the classroom, I said, how many of you believe we got told the entire story, the truth about 9/11? Or I'm sorry, how many of you don't believe that we were told the whole truth about 9/11 and the whole story? Every single person, every single youngster in that classroom raised their hands. So this whole 9/11 thing, this thing's not going to go away. This thing's a major, major mess, and there's been way too many videos and way too many documentations that have been done on this now showing that the story that we got from the 9/11 Commission report was a complete and total joke, another bunch of fabrication. I mean, why weren't there any, or why did they not allow, Austin, any independent lab studies of the debris in that area to see if thermite had been used or whatever? They didn't do any of that stuff. And the crazy thing about all of it is, I mean, there was molten steel at the base of the building. It was still molten when they uncovered it. Molten steel? How much heat it takes to generate molten steel?
Yeah.
So something's
jet fuel's going to burn off way before it starts melting steel like that.
Well, it was molten steel in the basement. And the girders that were sliced off had molten steel running off of them. I mean, this whole thing's such a ridiculous nonsense. I mean, hopefully, if Donald Trump gets to be president, I really, really hope he finds out what the heck happened up there and tells the rest of us, and they basically get all that redacted stuff out of the 9/11 report, which supposedly involves Saudi Arabia, and releases all of it. But I mean, it was the whole thing. It was just a huge mess. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, and one other thing I want to say, too, one of the theories that I had heard before also, that it wasn't a full-blown Boeing. It was like a drone, a mock-up drone plane that they had set up and basically packed it full of C4, which would make a lot more sense as far as how it actually responded when it hit the building, because it would come apart much easier.
But we know there was something under the fuselage that's
right.
Not normally on those planes. It's this giant, big thing under the fuselage. So, yes, it could have been a drone. It could have been that, too. Austin, I have no idea. It's kind of like when I was talking about the Immaculate Conception a few weeks ago with you. I said, I'm Schultz, man. I have no idea. Hogan's Heroes all over yet about what happens. I know nothing. All we have is a bunch of speculation, because we got a lying sack of crap government that won't stop lying to us, won't stop stealing from us, and won't stop murdering people all over the planet and blaming it on us. When we go to Europe now, people hate the Americans. It's ridiculous. Until you talk to them for a little while and you tell them, wait a minute, I have nothing to do with any of that. We're disagreeing with what the government's doing. They don't even want to talk to you anymore, Austin. They loathe us. And the reason for that is we bombed the entire Middle East of rubble along with England and Turkey and Israel. I mean, that's the craziest thing about it is that, you know, you and I never voted on this, Austin. We didn't vote about going and attacking these people. We didn't do any of that. They've done it because they're the globalists. They're running like a fascist dictatorship because the Bushes were a bunch of Nazis with their doggone daddy, with Prescott Bush, you know, collaborated with Hitler. And this whole Nazi thing with, I think now it's up to 36,000 people. I heard on the other day on another talk show that were documented that came in under Operation Paperclip and basically infiltrated the United States government. 36,000 people? That's a lot of people. That's like a small town came into the United States and infiltrated the government. So anyhow, what's your next story?
Oh yeah, the next one, we were talking about Putin earlier, and it's always funny how, you know, the West, you know, mainstream media always tries to just paint him in a negative light. And like I said, I don't know everything he's done in his past. I know he's not perfect. Nobody is. But it's interesting, he stated this week in a report that Russia should be protected from GMO foods and pharmaceutical companies at all costs. He goes on to say that Western powers are intentionally decelerating the process for personal gain. He goes on to say, we as a species have a choice to continue to develop our bodies and brains in a healthy upward trajectory, or we can follow the Western example of recent decades and intentionally poison our population with genetically altered food, pharmaceuticals, vaccinations, and fast foods that should be classified as dangerous addictive drugs. We must fight this. A physically and intellectually disabled population is not in our best interest. That's a strong statement. I agree pretty much with everything on that.
I mean, I'm starting to really like this guy. I mean, you know, why can't we have somebody like this? You know what I'm saying? I mean, why can't
we have...
Yeah, and
I mean, remember, we talked about back in December, they're saying that they're on its way to be the largest supplier of clean, high-quality organic food, and they revealed that the country could be completely self-sufficient on organic food by 2020.
You know, why is it now, and the folks, you don't really remember this, Austin, but I do because I'm, you know, 60 years old, is that, you know, Russia always had some kind of, well, I'm gonna qualify that. I'm going to stop for a second. We were led to believe that Russia was always the enemy. Remember? And I've talked about this before, because, you know, when you and I went to Russia, and I still remember when we went through the Kazakhstan's naval base over there by St. Petersburg, and all the ships had rusted into, you know, into oblivion and were sunk at their moors. And I looked at you and I said, Austin, this is a great group of people that we were told were so bad, and everybody here has been so nice, except for a few guys at the port. They were a little bit sketchy, the military, because we had just come out of the Soviet Union just collapsed about 6-7 years earlier. Their currency was worth nothing, and they were trying their best to survive. And so the craziest part about all of this is that, you know, we believe the mainstream media about everything. I mean, it's really kind of sad, actually. And the sad part about it is we don't even know anymore what they say on the mainstream is the truth of the lie, and we have to assume it's a lie. I mean, at one time, Dan Rather, Walter Cronkite, you don't remember this, you're too young, but back in the 60s and the 70s with Walter Cronkite, he was one of the most respected journalists, one of the most respected men in the United States, to the point that they gave him a huge pension so he wouldn't go to another news agency when he retired. Now, we look back and we see that a lot of the stuff he was doing was to further globalist interests. We get that now. And of course, Dan Rather, he kind of came unraveled there at the end. And then Tom Brokaw, he quit. And now, you know, with Peter Jennings, he ended up dying of cancer, you know, almost immediately after 9/11 when he questioned some of the official narrative and he was gone. And see, the thing about it is that the mainstream media is a bunch of mainstream prostitutes, is what they are, that have sold their souls to this one world order, and they do what they're told to do. And if they don't do what they're told to do, son, then they decide they just either get killed, or they get fired, they're minimized. No one even hears from them anymore. They just go away. And see, that's what's so nice about the alternative news media, and that we're able to do a show like this, build up an audience like we're doing, and tell the people the truth. Now, you know, I'll give Alex Jones credit. He's built a huge, huge, huge network up now that's rivaling some of the mainstream numbers. In fact, it's probably bigger than CNN. And honestly, I mean, Alex showed all of us that we can get on radio, that we can get on TV, that we can do anything we need to do as long as we have the First Amendment to protect us and we can tell the people the truth. And the globalists are running scared now because we've exposed their entire agenda, Austin. And it's like Putin just said. They're poisoning their own people. They're poisoning us. I drove to Lakeland today to get a vitamin C IV, intravenous vitamin C, and I had to put 50,000 milligrams of vitamin C into one of my veins. It takes about an hour and a half to do that. And as I was driving to Lakeland, I became almost overwhelmed with the amount of chemtrails that were in the sky. It was so bad, the sky was totally opaque, and yet they were still laying down more and more and more of these spider webs up there. And I thought to myself, my God, I said, how much are they going to spray on us today? Is this just what they do? And sadly, this is what they do. They spray us with chemtrails, they feed us GMO, they pump us full of fluoride, they pump us full of mercury, they pump us full of NAGLase, they pump us full of immunizations that are causing so many problems with autism. They're doing this on purpose because they're trying to fundamentally turn the world upside down. What is good is going to be bad, what is bad is going to be good according to them. And it's all about their philosophy about destroying the planet, destroying everything that God created. It's the most wicked, the most corrupt group of people that I've ever heard of and ever learned about. And the more I read about them, Austin, the more you just kind of wish that God would just take them on off the planet and be done with them. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just they're so wicked. 700,000 children, according to Ted Gunderson, are kidnapped from their homes, mainly small children, every single year in the United States. Almost all of them are being used, according to Gunderson, for satanic worship services and human sacrifice, and nobody in the media wants to talk about this. Now, you talk to some of the cops in some of the major cities, they'll talk about it. They'll tell you if you meet with them individually about what's going on where they go to these places where these human altars are set up to kill people. This whole thing is nuts. And the problem is the mainstream media, which is controlled by the same group of people doing this, don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about the pedophilia, all the stuff that's going on in Washington, because they're involved in it. They're involved in it, or they're covering it up, and they're doing it because they prostituted themselves for money. And it's all based on greed and power and just these lavish lifestyles that these guys live. I mean, I remember I read an article over in Europe, and they had one of the Rothschild estates. They had turned into a museum in London, and one of the kings of Europe had gone over there and had seen this estate, and they asked, does a king live here? He goes, no, a king couldn't afford this. This has to be one of the Rothschilds that own this. And see, that's what they've done through their fractional reserve lending they do. It's called Babylonian money magic is what it is. They literally have deceived all of us into believing the lie that they've taken over all of the assets, the whole country, and these international banking banksters have done this to all of us. And sadly, Austin, until we get rid of the Federal Reserve Act and we restore sound money like Ron Paul talked about over and over again, it's not going to get any better. It's not going to be fixed. And I don't know if the United States has the chutzpah to do that anymore, because so many of us have been drugged now into a submission with statin drugs, with tricyclic antidepressants, with Prozac, with Zoloft, with Xanax, all of these things. Now they're pumping heroin to us like there's no tomorrow. They're cutting off our supply of opiates for the people that are addicted to them legally, and they're making them go on the street to take heroin. This whole thing's turned into a giant nightmare to fund the black ops projects to allow the CIA to continue to destroy the United States along with their bankster partners. Are you there, Austin? Okay, Todd, I think we've lost Austin. So we're going to go ahead and do
something. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you just came back. You kind of faded out. Did you walk away for a second, Oz, or were you still there?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. What's
no,
your next
point? You were spot on with that. And the thing about it is, if you do your research on it, since the Federal Reserve was enacted in 1913, how fast the currency has fallen as far as what it's worth. I was reading an article the other day, and they said a $100 bill in 1969, remember this is only, 45 years ago, 1969 would buy the equivalent of $646 today. So, I mean, we're already seeing the dollar is worth essentially nothing, and that's what it's continuing to do. And other news, too, though, this is pretty cool. Donald Trump is leading in Florida with 48% of the GOP votes, according to a poll released yesterday. Almost 50% of the polls in Florida are voting for Donald as of right now. Ted Cruz came in at 16%, and Rubio came in at 11%, and Jeb Bush, came in at 9%. I don't think it's looking very good for him. But almost 50% in Florida as far as for Trump. That's pretty exciting, in my opinion.
Well, we have to do something. I mean, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure that Donald has his own warts, as we all do. But the reality is, I mean, who doesn't have warts? And secondly, what in the world are these other candidates showing us? We got Cruz, who's a Goldman Sachs stooge, as far as I'm concerned, with his Goldman Sachs stooge wife. And then we've got Hillary, the great fourth level witch, according to Dan Marchetti, Doc Marchetti the other day. I mean, we got a Satanist running for the Democratic Party, a full blown witch. Okay, which we know that's true. I mean, I really do believe that. And we got Donald Trump. So if we're going to pull a lever on anybody, it's going to be, I'm going to pull it on Donald Trump. And then we have to pray to God Almighty that the precincts are going to be manned with people who aren't going to lie when they count the votes, because quite frankly, Austin, with the Diebold voting machines and the electronic vote tampering that we already know has happened at multiple elections, you know, we don't even know, unless it's a major, major landslide for Donald Trump, if even if he wins, that they're going to give him the presidency, son. Because remember, this is all determined at a whole different level than we are at. You know, and so this you know, we want to just believe this. Remember, it's like Stalin used to say. He said, it doesn't matter at all who you vote for. The only thing that matters is who counts the votes. And so this is what we're going to. Here's the next story. This is from Russia Today. And it kind of covers and talks some of the stuff I talked about a few minutes ago. The financial situation in the world has become so unstable that a new wave of defaults and bankruptcies will soon emerge, says William White, the chairman of the OECD's review committee and the former chief economist for the Bank of International Settlements. This is based out of Basel, Switzerland. The situation is worse than it was in 2007. This is one of the top guys in the world with the Federal Reserve System. Our macroeconomic ammunition to fight downturns is essentially all used up. You know, 0% interest has a chance to do that. The economist told the Telegraph newspaper before the World Economic Forum in Davos. White is one of a few bankers who warned about the rising crisis in the Western financial system before the financial crash 8 years ago. And you know, son, I mean, no offense, these guys have raped and pillaged the entire world, and they have literally been responsible for murdering tens of millions through their wars that they've done. If not over, probably over 100 million for the last century with the Russian Revolution. And if these guys fall, and the United States would have to pick up the pieces, go back to the Constitution, which we should have done a long time ago, and we get these leeches out of our lives, we're going to be a whole lot better for it. We really will be. We're going to go through some pains and birth pains, but we'll have a new country again. I hope we can make that happen.
Yes, as do I. And here's another article now you're talking about as far as just the absolute ridiculousness of these banks now. America's three biggest banks, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo. These banks by themselves earned more than $6 billion last year just from ATM fees and overdraft fees. Just on those two things alone, that equates to over $18 per person, every single person in the United States. There's so much frustration over these fees now that they've been brought up as far as a presidential campaign issue. Consumers now are paying on average $4 to withdraw their own money from an out-of-network ATM. And apparently this outrage comes that Americans are finding exactly how much the banks really profited off these for the first time since they're required to disclose this information publicly for the 2015. And what's interesting is a 2014 Pew study found more than half the people who overdrew their checking accounts in the past year never remembered consenting to overdraft service. Now, you told me about this years ago when I was at the bank that one time setting a different account up, and they said, do you want overdraft coverage? And said, absolutely not. If it goes to zero, it goes to zero, and you decline it. That's it. Overdraft coverage allows them to basically give you a loan on the money that you overdraft and charge you a fee, and then you go back in and put the money back in the account when you have it. What most people don't understand now is the typical overdraft fee on average is $34. Sometimes it's more. And consumers who opt into overdraft coverage put themselves at serious risk when they use their debit card. This is crazy. Listen to this. The Pew study, they also found that the majority of overdrafts occurred on transactions of $24 or less. So it was literally minuscule amounts of money. And they said, they noted, if someone borrowed $24 which is what most of the transactions were for as far as they went over their account balance, for only 3 days and paid an overdraft fee of $34. The loan from the bank, which you're basically getting, would carry a whopping 17,000 annual percent APR rate, is what that is, 17,000% interest rate on it. And just J.P. Morgan by themselves took almost $2 billion last year just in overdraft fees out of all those. So, I mean, there has to be something that's done about it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating that you don't moderate your finances and understand what you're doing and you don't overdraft stuff. You need to make sure you're monitoring your money. But taking a $35 fee because somebody overdrafts $2 or $3 out of their account is complete and total ridiculousness. There's absolutely no reason they should be able to get away with charging fees like this. Now, I understand if you overdraft and don't pay it, put money in the account for weeks and months on end, then that's a completely different story. But you start overdrafting this stuff for 2 and 3 days, like they said, on average of $24, and they're charging you $34, that's insanity, along with $4 ATM fees. All that stuff needs to be capped at 25 to 50 cents. Whatever the transaction fee costs the bank, it needs to be slightly more than that at the most, and that needs to be all it is to cover this. These banks don't need to be making billions of dollars a year just off ATM fees and overdraft fees. It's egregious.
No, I agree with you. In fact, what people need to realize is this. They keep asking us all the time if we want to do all this stuff like that. I don't even use ATMs. Number one, they're not safe. If you're going to stand there in an ATM at the bank late in the afternoon or in the early evening and there's nobody around, you're going to pull a bunch of cash out of there, there's a good possibility in some areas. In fact, it's not a possibility. It's a probability. You probably will be robbed. That's number one. Number two, I'm not going to pay a $4 fee to withdraw $100 because look at the math on that. They're charging you 4% right there on the spot of the $100. 4% times 12 is a 48% interest rate on that money. The banks aren't allowed to charge that by state and federal law in your state. They can charge like up to 28%. But so what they do, they don't call it interest. They call it a fee, or they call it dock stamps, or they call it a loan origination fee. And that allows them to gouge you in all of the different things they do, or they call it points. I love that. That's my favorite thing is points. The dock stamps are used for the states, for the fees for the states. They have to get their little penny out of you too. But the crazy thing about all of this stuff is that all of this stuff doesn't make you any money. If you're capable of managing your finances, which I believe my listeners are, and you can use a credit card like Starwood or American Airlines or whatever, and you can get free airline points, and you can pay it off every single month. Now, if you can't pay it off every month, don't do it, because they're going to nail you for 18 or 24% interest. If you can do it without being late, do it on time, you can accrue airline points and hotel points, which will allow you to fly free and stay free if you do enough volume with them. But in the meantime, you'll be using your card to make money and to give yourself benefits rather than banking, doing the banksters. And then you get a real nice printout at the end of the month of exactly everything you charged and where the check went. To me, it's a lot easier to do that, Austin, than it is to try to write all of these little checks out to everybody and to constantly go to the ATMs. I hardly carry any cash with me, but I always have my credit cards with me, and in the vast majority of times, I'm able to use those. Now, sadly, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to do that because I don't believe in credit. Well, if you don't believe in credit, don't do it. I'm not trying to convict you on this at all. I'm not trying to give you any financial advice on that at all, and I'm certainly asking you, if you can't control yourself and you can't pay this stuff off every month, then it's really important not to do what I just said. Because for years and years and years, until I took a seminar with a guy by the name of Bob Harrison back in the 80s, and it was called Fly Free and Stay Free. And until that point, I didn't even want credit cards. I had them for like gas purchases, but what I always did is I always paid cash for things, you know, or a check for things, because I didn't want to be involved with credit cards and not be able to pay them off at the end of the month. So yeah, that's how I look at this whole thing too. Now here's Obama's first run, his first challenge now has already been taking place about gun control. This is again from Russia Today, which tells us more truth than anybody else. Conservative advocacy group Freedom Watch on Monday will challenge Obama's executive order on guns, which instructed the BAT, the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco Firearms, the ATF, and other agencies to reinterpret legislation passed by Congress. I mean, he's asking the ATF to reinterpret legislation passed by Congress. I guess he needs another shot of heroin or something. The lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida alleges that President Obama doesn't have the legal authority to redefine laws that Congress has passed. The new interpretation allows the ATF to extend its enforcement activities to people who do not make their livelihood selling firearms and require them to perform background checks. This previous limitation on jurisdiction was known by its detractors as the gun show loophole. This is only the first lawsuit challenging the January 4th executive order that many experts predicted to be a controversial both politically and legally. I didn't know that he had actually signed that thing into order. I knew he'd been talking about Austin. So he's actually signed this thing now? That's what he's done?
Yes. It was the whole thing to prevent basically private sellers. Essentially, that's what it is. The gun show loophole is just a term they like to coin to make things sound bad, like the assault rifle, same thing. No, it's basically what it did was it allows the ATF to come in now, which, of course, he gave the ATF the branch to handle this because we all know they're a really credible, legitimate
totally corrupt right. organization.
So, yeah, he gave them basically the power to come in and say, if you're an individual and you don't have an SFL dealer license, which is a federal firearm license, to run background checks and sell firearms legally, then they can basically arrest you if you're caught selling weapons without running background checks to a certain point. But they don't give a number on it. They said that it's up to the basically the officer to decide if you're using it to sell. Like, you can sell, like, say I want to buy a gun from you. We do a personal transaction, that's it. They're saying that that's still okay, but if I start selling them on Florida Gun Trader on a weekly basis, then I could be fined and jailed for that, but they never put down a specific number. So what it was a whole opening to the ATF now to basically give them blanket immunity to do whatever they wanted to do to individuals doing firearm transactions that weren't holding an SFL license. That's what I talked about on the show a couple weeks ago. That's why I said it's complete and total egregious executive order, and he has no right to even sign that because he didn't really even sign anything new. All he did was take current law and twist them and just convolute them and then throw ATF in, that's just a giant nightmare to deal with, and throw them into the mix, throw it all in a blender, and he's like, hey, here's your new law that prevents gun violence. It didn't prevent anything. All it did was give ATF more jurisdiction to arrest people for absolutely no reason whatsoever. That's it.
You know, it's funny. I don't know how. I guess I must be breathing too many chemtrails because I knew he was planning on it. I knew he was going to do it. Maybe I just did a complete and total mental block on it also because it had ticked me off so bad I didn't even look at the stories anymore. That's what happened. I didn't pay attention to it because it's one of those deals that I knew he was planning on it, but I didn't know he'd actually signed it. So I'm really glad these guys had done it. But I mean, I just pretty much blanked it out of my mind because I can't stand the guy. And I can't believe that he would actually have done that. And now all it's done is going to muddy up the water and give ATF more authority. Here's another interesting article. I love this one. Flint, Michigan, which has been basically a mecca of Democratic control now for the past 30, 40 years, used to be one of the most beautiful cities in the world along with Detroit, one of the big automakers. They used to be there. These cities were so prosperous back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And then they came in with all of their unions and all of their state taxes and all of their stuff. And they came in and they destroyed this. And all these corporations started leaving, stopped making cars in Flint and in Detroit. They've left, most of them have, and they've walked away. It's like the lead smelters in the United States. They're all gone now. There's not one lead smelter facility left in the United States. They've been either find out or basically they couldn't compete with the stuff coming in out of China. But here's what Flint says. I love this. And I'm being facetious. Flint is now sending out overdue notices to residents who aren't paying for their toxic water. Okay. Flint State, Michigan is sending out notices to residents who haven't been paying for their city water services. The notices say that the service can be cut off if the payment isn't received. This is normal civic administrative practice except for one thing. Flint's water is so badly poisoned that the National Guard and the FEMA agency have been called in to manage the situation, which has left the residents drinking bottled water that's been being given out as an emergency measure. As ML Live notes in dry fashion, some residents have expressed outrage over the fact that they are being billed for the water they cannot drink without filtration due to the elevated lead levels found in the water in some Flint homes. So what they're doing is they don't want to pay for the poison, so they stop making payments to the government, so now their water is going to be turned off. And sadly, too, they need to understand this. They don't even need to be showering in this stuff if it's loaded with lead and all these chemicals.
That's what I was just about to say. So basically, they don't want to keep paying for toxic water that they can't use or drink. They're drinking bottled water now. So now Flint is sending out notices to their residents that they have basically, they're being fined and they have to pay to have their water kept on now. I don't even understand that. Is this like a national emergency with Flint with their water being so toxic? Why in the world would you still have to pay for it?
Which reminds me, we have to give out the website. The show today is brought to you by healthmasters.com. I probably should have called it the healthmasters.com show so we could at least remember to give out the website. This is what we do. We do this because I really feel I've had a calling to do this. God woke me up. It doesn't matter. God spoke to me one time in a dream while I was sleeping about almost five years ago. And I feel as though that I've been called to do this. This is why we're doing this, because we're really kind of sticking our necks out on the line talking like this, because this is how a lot of you feel. That's why our show is growing so fast. And so now we got somebody actually saying it. Well, I'm saying it, all of it. And so healthmasters.com has a newsletter that we write. I was trained as a naturopath back in the 80s. I was a state licensed nutritionist in Florida for years. I've worked with thousands and thousands of patients, helping them to maintain healthy blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, blood sugar levels. We send out emails on all of that health stuff every single week, and I love it. That's what I did, and that's what I do. And so if you guys will support Health Masters, we produce the finest, highest quality nutraceutical supplements in the world. Healthmasters.com or 1-800-726-1834. 1-800-726-1834. We'd appreciate it if you support us. And if you notice, this is not an infomercial, guys. I've been talking now for almost 55 minutes. We have not taken one commercial break. I have not said one thing about Health Masters. I'm not going to do it. There's other shows that also sell supplements that I listen to, and literally every 5 to 6 minutes, it's a nutrition commercial for 2 or 3 minutes. Sometimes it's 15 or 20 minutes of nutrition commercials. I will not do that. I won't even listen to those shows anymore because they frustrate me so much. And so I respect you guys too much. You know that we're here. You know that you can support us if you like what we're doing. Thank you. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your support. Let me go with the next story. This is another good one. I love this. New cars are to record your iris, your fingerprints, your voice, and your blood pressure. Auto manufacturers are working with a company called iLock to put Myris iris cameras in new cars, according to biometricupdate.com. iLock's iris authenticates process takes less than 5 seconds to complete. iLock only allows authenticated drivers behind the wheel, which means insurance companies will be drooling at the mouths to provide profit from this invasive technology. I mean, son, this is like the gun thing.
Wow.
They suddenly don't want us driving the cars anymore without iLock. They don't want us using guns anymore unless you can put, you know, locks on them. I mean, this whole thing's a mess. Pray. I want you guys to pray for this country. Pray for us. Support us if you can. We appreciate you guys. But pray that the eyes of the people in the United States are awakened and that we can return this land back to God where it belongs, and the people in the United States will humble themselves and they'll come back to God and they'll ask for forgiveness for what they've done, and we can restore this land. Pray for that, please. Austin, you got anything else you want to say?
No, man. Spot on. Let's not allow iris scanners in our cars or cars that drive by themselves. I think that's nonsense.
It is. Well, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Again, thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate you guys, and we'll be back tomorrow. God bless.